So how do we get from a Welsh Premier League club that were the centrepiece of a Football Manager competition to a Premier League legend who scored 183 goals in 174 appearances for Porto and Sporting?
Welcome to this week's Wikipedia Wanderers. I am Josh and that is Dave. We are here to talk football. Hello, Dave.
Hello, mate. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Not bad. Just been out for a lovely little lunch. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Marco Pierre White.
With Jonathan Ross. Nice.
Yeah, he owns a restaurant in Singapore called The English House, which specialises in roast dinners. So we went there for lunch.
Oh, favourite meat for a roast dinner?
Now, my favourite roast dinner, being unbiased, is cooked by my wife, who cooks the best roast dinner.
Oh,
and
God
my favourite there is chicken. But
get
out,
a grip.
Out and about, it's pork or lamb.
Okay. Why has beef not been mentioned?
Not my favourite. And you asked me what my favourite was. That's why it's not been mentioned. Yeah. Pork. Crackling. Pork and crackling is amazing.
Okay, that's a good mix. Yeah, yeah.
And lamb, I think, is very... Lamb's probably the... hardest to cook at home, I'd say, like really well. So I think having it out.
I'm not sure I've ever had a lamb roast.
Oh, missing out, mate. Mint sauce. Yeah. Although you can have mint sauce or anything.
But... Okay, so mint as a foodstuff does not belong anything near any savoury dish. It is for drinks and desserts only. Mint.
It says a man that's never had mint sauce of lamb.
I am knocking it before I've tried it. That is correct. Yes. Yeah. But just quickly then, favourite element of a roast dinner is stuffing. For me, so but are you against, like, because normally you'd stuff the bird, like you've had a roast.
Yes, you would.
But are you against if I was to do a portion of stuffing about on a kind of beef roast, or would you be against that? Like, it's not typically there. Like, same way, like Yorkshire puddings are meant to be with a certain meat, aren't they? Is it beef, maybe?
Beef. So, yeah. I would say Yorkshire puddings and stuffing, you have it with whatever you want it with. If you like stuffing, you have it. However, I am stuffing's a bit of a strange one. I think I've only ever had stuffing really with Christmas dinner.
Well, you know what? You've got to bring out the big guns at Christmas.
Yeah.
I could have a roast dinner, which is just a Yorkshire pudding full of stuffing and pigs and blankets and gravy.
Covered in gravy. Yeah, I'd be all in for that. You should invent that as the sausage roast.
Yeah. But
football.
Football is the winner today, and you start today. In a little town in Wales. Tell me why.
Yes, Bala or Bala. We're not too sure, and we've been there. No. Why do I start there, Josh? Because it's a good memory for us, isn't it? I think. Well, it's mixed memories, because obviously on the way there, we'll get into it in a bit more detail. But on the way there, something quite drastic happened in the world of football, which we'll touch on in a minute. Yeah, it was a good little fun trip out. It was a Football Manager competition. Let's start right at the beginning. So a Football Manager competition started. Called #OneMoreGame, I think it was.
Yeah.
One more game. One more game, one last game. Something like that. It was Football Manager 2018. No.
Yeah. And it
16. 2016 came to the end of its life, I think it would have been. Because I moved here in 2018.
You're well out of sync. It's got to be 13 or 14.
You're correct. My first house in Bristol. Yeah. So it would have been 2014. And the competition was to take over the worst reputation team in the game and see how far you could get them
in the worst reputable league as well.
In the worst reputable league. And the joy of that was given to Bala Town in the Welsh Premier League. And we are the Royal We, which is actually me, you, two of our friends, Owen and Jim as well, all entered the competition to say this is how far we can get there. Well, none of us won it, but we won the prize.
Yes. So... it was all run by Ian McIntosh, a journalist, because when a new Football Manager comes out, you kind of like, oh, do I keep playing a game? Yeah. I'll have one last game of this, and then I'll move on to the new Football Manager. It was whoever achieved the most with Bala Town in one season, I think, was going to win, and you would win tickets to go and watch Bala Town and be hosted by them. And as Dave said, we didn't win, but I was fortuitously live on Twitter at that time and saw... but the winner couldn't go. And then Mr. McIntosh tweeted, anyone else free to go? First reply gets it. I went, I am. And I got four tickets. to a European fixture.
yes, and it was and it worked out. I was going to say reasonably well because I lived in Bristol in the time. Turns out it's still miles away from North Wales.
Yeah, we thought, oh, Dave's in Bristol, Wales is next door. Tick, tick, tick. So we did half a journey. We thought it was 90% of a journey. It's only half because Bala is in the northwest of Wales. And so we went there. Jim couldn't come. He just had a child. But we then went our way to Bala. Turns out it was also during Movember, and we were fashioning incredibly awful tashes at the time, which I'm not sure.
All in all, it was a very... I mean, it was a great day. We loved it. We did absolutely love it. We went up there. We were hosted by the club. And we got to meet the manager, who is still the manager. Colin Catton is still the manager there now. We got to meet the chairman, some of the players. We got a wonderful buffet spread that was laid on for us. I mean, the main reason we picked the game we went to see, it was a 0-0, by the way, that we went to see. It was Bala versus Neath. And we picked that game because Neath had superstar player Lee Trundle in their ranks. And we grew up in the era of Soccer AM, where they used to focus on Lee Trundle in Swansea and Bristol City days.
Yeah, showboating challenges.
Yeah, the showboat. So we thought we'd see a bit of that. Turned out he was rubbish. It was an all right game. It rained. The pitch was a bit crap, but it was good fun. It was a good journey. But yeah, on the way there, I touched on it earlier. The sad news: it was the same day that Gary Speed passed away. And we were on there, and it was just the car. We just fell into silence, didn't we? Which was incredible.
Shock, yeah.
But that was the trip where the Wikipedia game for football sort of became invented between me, you, and Owen, and became the Wikipedia files, which has sort of grown into this podcast. And that's what we're doing now, to get from one section to another. So we're going to start with Bala Town. So I'll give us a bit of a background on that. So yeah, part of the Welsh Premier League, the Cymru Premiership, which I think I've said that correctly. I've gone for it, Josh. I went for it.
That was brave.
Yeah, 3,000 capacity stadium named Maes Tegid, I think, again.
Wasn't 3,000 full when we attended?
No, it's 504 seated.
Wasn't 504.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, we had three of those seats when we were there, which was lovely. Known as the Lakesiders, very nice. 141 years old. Home kit, black and white. Away kit, red. On their Wikipedia page, it's a small page. It's a small page, which is
clicking on it. There's not much going on, is there? There is history, a sentence on a stadium. Squad, European record, which is all qualifiers, and honours.
Yeah, I mean it's an interesting one to get to. You look through their history. Formed in 1880, they've competed in the Welsh Cup as a different team, losing two replays, and then Bala North End, Bala South End, and Bala Thursdays. Bala Thursdays, what a team name! Merged,
nice.
And they became Bala Town, and they joined in the North League. Welsh National League North Division 2 in 1921 to 22, and then have moved up at all the divisions and have been in the Premier League for quite a while, actually. They've been in there for quite some time. Have got into Europe on numerous occasions as well, or the qualifiers, sorry. They've got into the qualifiers of Europe.
I'd like to list these European clubs. There are eight in front of me. Let's see how many people, any size people know. Levadia Tallinn. Nope. Differdange. Nope.
Differdange. Differdange from Luxembourg, yeah.
Differdange.
Differdange.
AIK, I think we all know them. Vaduz, Tre Fiori, Valletta, Standard Liège, and Laon. Okay, they've been knocked out. They've won four of those games, not in the right order to put them through to the main competition, but there's some not very certain. Standard Liège is the one, the notable one, because that's when they got to the second qualifying round of Europa League, having beaten Valletta, but alas, lost 2-0. That for me, is the biggest of us in so far.
I mean,
biggest kick point.
Yeah, it is interesting in their history. They do have a little sentence. Bala Town missed out on the opportunity of playing Turkish giants Trabzonspor in the 2015-16 Europa League after losing out on aggregate to Differdange 0-3, falling victim to an injury time goal. Oh, however, Bala maintain a proud record of 100% win percentage at home, in inverted commas, because they play their home games at Ryle's Bellevue Stadium due to UEFA stadium requirements on both occasions. So, yeah, interesting. Well, they've just won the Welsh Cup as well. Yeah, yeah. And they've just won the Welsh Cup. They finished second in 2015-16, and they followed this success up by winning their first Welsh Cup, beating the New Saints, who is probably the most famous team in Wales. They're the ones always you know about getting into Europe, TNS. Doing all right. But... Josh has, I've sort of learnt this off Josh, that when you come to a a club page, the first thing you should do, scroll down to the players list, their current squad, see if you recognise any names. Now, I go through this and there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players that have clickable links. Out of those players, I know one of them and I'm pretty sure he's a ex-Premiership footballer.
Who do you know, Dave? Because I'm not sure. Is it Dave Edwards?
Dave Edwards, Reading and Wolves, I want to say. Central midfielder.
It's far too common a name.
But the fact it's clickable, and it's a...
I
think true. That is the ex-Welsh centre midfielder, Dave Edwards, who played for Wolves in the Premier League. Wolves, and I think Reading in the Premier League. He definitely played for Reading, whether in the Premier League or not.
That's a bit of a well-trodden path, actually, Wolves-Reading, isn't it? Stephen Hunt?
Yeah.
Kevin Doyle.
Yeah, there's a couple in there. Yeah. So, I don't know who Steve Leslie, Anthony Kay, Paul Rutherford or Oliver Shannon are, but Dave Edwards, I think, could be the... obviously, we're not allowed to hover.
No hovers. Yeah.
So I think that could be the Dave Edwards. Now, it is a risky click, potentially, because there are plenty of Dave Edwards in the world.
And you don't know how much people care about Dave Edwards. He might have a really... This is quite a small page, and my concern is, am I going to click on a Dave Edwards where no one's cared for his page? It's a skeleton. It's just bare bones.
Exactly.
We don't know this.
This is the tough thing. We'll come back to where we're going to click off this in a minute, but that is the end of their page. It literally is, as Josh said, history, stadium, European record, current squad, honours. So we've got to get from Ballatown, who we've adopted as another club to follow after going there. We've got to go from Ballatown to your choice, Josh, which is controversial, but not really in a football sense, I don't think.
Mario Jardel. And this is a player who I kind of know of because of stats, really. I remember he was there, top of, you have the European Goalscorer of the Year award, and it gets sorted by coefficient. He was always there with loads of goals. Because he played in a Portuguese league or a Turkish league, never won it, because you'd get 2 points, isn't it, if you're in one of the top leagues for each goal. Was it one? It's 2 points.
I think it's 2 and 1, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it was 1.5 as well. And he would be, scored the most, but because he played in a seemingly lesser league, you'd never win it. But, yeah, Mario Jardel, he had a fantastic career, and then it turned into a nomadic career. So this is we'll go for the top line here. He is a retired Brazilian footballer, played as a forward. He was most noted for his positioning on the field and for his heading ability. He was a legend for Grêmio, playing a major part that won the 1995 Copa Libertadores. Now, it's interesting here, the Brazilian link here, because you look at the side here, and where we have the stats, the top section, a little kind of ready reckoner, you got 91-96, Vasco da Gama, 15 appearances, 3 goals. 95-96, Grêmio on loan, 13 appearances, 10 goals. And it mentions, legend at Grêmio. And it's like, well, he's played barely any games. So I thought, what's going on here? And it's because the way the Brazilian league structured, it's very much is it like 2 leagues or a big cup or something like that?
Yes,
isn't it?
You have a league that's split over 2 different seasons within one season, and then the joint ending is the end of the season. It's very strange. Yeah.
So if you take that face value at top section, you think, oh, he's not had much of a career, and he didn't really play much before he got to Porto. But when you go down, you realise into his the detailed stats. You realise across those 5 seasons in Brazil, yes, he only played 28 league games, but he played 160 games in total, scoring 70 goals. So it's that top section. With Brazilian football, maybe you have to delve a little deeper, because it's a bit misleading.
Yeah, it's actually strange that they come under... I thought they would have come under league or cup, but they come under other.
Maybe we need to have a look at this. Should I take the action away?
I think
to make sure this is consistent across the board for Brazil, because it just feels like it's skewing things slightly, isn't it?
It is. I sort of want to know what the NB1 is next to other at the top of the list. Are we allowed to hover over that NB1, which I think is no hovering on that at all? Okay, because that's a lot in other. Yeah, that's an action. You got to, even if it's hovering offline, and you come back and just let us know.
I'll go for an offline.
Yeah, that's fine.
But for most of us, I think his European career is where it all started. And it started with Porto, but other teams tried. So Benfica tried, Rangers were close to getting him. But because of the non-EU status and the regulations in the UK, he couldn't get him. Imagine that. That would have been the amount of goals he scored in the Portuguese league, laying it out over the Scottish league. That is a lot of goals.
It should have been a lot of goals, yeah. It probably would have been a lot of goals.
But yeah, it was Porto to start with. 4 years there, lots of top goal scorers, league titles, top goal scorer in Europe for 3 years, but due to a coefficient, was only won the European Golden Boot twice, lost out to Kevin Phillips. Oh, Kevin Phillips in 1990-2000. Phillips scored 6 fewer goals than Jardel, but because Phillips did it for Sunderland in the Premier League, yeah, he won the title. Yeah. This is a lovely last line, though. We've got lots of stats around goal scoring, and we mentioned controversy. In a 2014 interview, Jardel revealed that during his spell at Porto, he consumed cocaine with the knowledge of both the club's doctor and the physiotherapist.
Wow. So he's not just saying, I did cocaine. He's like, I did cocaine and these guys knew.
Hey, come under this bus. So from Porto, we have a transfer to Galatasaray. We have 4 seasons at Porto. Galatasaray come calling. 28 million euros as well came calling. Reason, but it was only a one season wonder. Struggled to adapt, different injuries. Did win the 2000 Super Cup. Beat Real Madrid. And he was also did quite well in Europe. Second top goal scorer in the Champions League that season. As Galatasaray, I think they got quite far in the competition as well. It was only one season and he moved back to Sporting. And this is a fun move because this is moving back to Sporting with 3 players moving the other way. As some cash. And so Sporting go, have these 3 players and some money. Can we have Jardel? And one of those players of note is Mbo Mpenza, brother of Emil Mpenza.
Yeah.
Is that, again, a computer game kind of interest in Mbo Mpenza? I feel like the Mpenzas were a bit...
Champ Manager 0102, I want to say the Mpenzas were big. That's when you could sign the Mpenzas and they did well. Yeah.
But, I mean, Sporting, again, it's a couple of seasons. It's goals galore. His first season in the league, 30 appearances, 42 goals.
Sorry, we're not. People aren't seeing our faces anymore. I just literally dropped my mouth. That is obscene. That is obscene. Yeah.
He's got 40 league goals in a season. And his time at Sporting is where it somewhat peaked. It's the decline is after that. I mean, you know it's a decline. Your next move after that is to Big Sam's Bolton. Big Sam, almost a weekly shout out because of the interesting players he brought to his club. Yeah. 7 appearances in the league, no goals.
I just want to interrupt you there and point out that even on his Wikipedia page, it does go. Club career, Brazil, FC Porto, Galatasaray, Sporting, decline. That is literally the subtitle of the heading.
Yeah. And you go, okay, who's involved in this? Okay, it's Bolton.
Bolton.
We have been loaned to Ancona and the supporters called him Lardel rather than Jardel. As a pun of a lardo, meaning lard due to being overweight. And he struggled with his weight throughout his career. We've got a lot of different places we're going here. We've got Newell's Old Boys, nice little move there. We have... I think maybe a couple of... Well, there's some sides I don't really know. Guayas, Beira-Mar, they may be Portuguese or Brazilian. I know Famagusta are Cyprus or Greece, aren't they? We have Newcastle Jets, where he was their marquee signing. There's a bit of a section on that. Never really got game time. Was getting paid reasonably handsomely, £3,000 a week. But then we have Brazilian lower leagues, and it all just kind of peters out. Peters out with Bulgaria. Phil, he may have just been... He retired aged 38, and for a man who struggled with weight throughout his career... You can't help but feel that he was just really just wanting to earn that wage to go through. But a club career which had a lot of honours. We skip down to the honours section. We've got titles won pretty much everywhere. We go Grêmio, Vasco da Gama, Porto, Galatasaray, albeit just a Super Cup. We've got Sporting won the league with Newell's Old Boys, a cup with Famagusta, the league with Newcastle Jets. It was fun. It's fun for him, I think, if he looks back.
There's a couple of things as you've been talking through. I've just picked up on a few little sentences here and there. Under the decline, during the Christmas break, Jardel returned to his native Fortaleza, where he injured his knee in a swimming pool fall. Now, I would have thought falling into a swimming pool wouldn't hurt you that much. I mean, it would sting from a height. He scored 9 goals that season and was granted, alongside Deco, Portuguese citizenship.
Just quickly, we do not know that the swimming pool is full of water.
That is true. We don't know that the swimming pool is full of water.
Maybe Jardel assumed it was, dived in.
Empty.
Did a bomb.
A bomb.
And just, you know, yeah.
And then another line that caught my eye again, Newcastle Jets. On the 3rd of November 2007, Jardel played nearly 20 minutes against Sydney FC. He showed some positive signs, nearly equalising for Newcastle. Is that a positive sign for a marquee signing? He nearly equalised.
For 20 minutes.
For 20 minutes.
That is really going down to the fine bones of his career.
Yeah.
Club career was successful, I'd say, if you look back at that. The goals he scored, his one title. It's not in top leagues, but...
If you take his...
You can't help but feel that the goals he scored in Portugal, he would have surely still scored kind of one in two goals in a better league in that time.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And it's a very strange front-loaded, skewed stats. I know that's a terrible sentence, but like, if you look at his, at the top of the page, at the right-hand side, as you said, going through the stats, which don't, the goals and appearances, which don't cover everything in Brazil, but the total of 255 goals in 328 appearances through those stats, that's impressive for someone that then didn't play more than 17 games in a season. We 2003
about 10
onwards.
Clubs and about 40 goals are scored in that period.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I mean,
it gets a little bit sadder when you look at international as well. With those goals he scored, I know it's Brazil and you're a forward, it's hard to come by, but 10 appearances for Brazil, just the solo goal, seems a bit sad, really. His debut was made, he came on replacing Ronaldo during a friendly game against Russia in 1996. He did, however, with Brazil, win the Under-20 World Cup.
That was going to be my question. What do you see as the link in to Mario Jardel? Porto, Sporting?
I would say the clubs he scored all those goals for. So I think you've got Grêmio, he's spoken about, you may mention legend up above.
Yep.
We've got Porto, Galatasaray's a bit dodgy, and Sporting, I think, are our clubs.
So what we're saying is we need to get from North Wales to mainland top European division football.
Yes. We also have top goal scorers. Well, he's Premier League top goal scorer. So he's going to be mentioned in those in records.
Yeah.
So we can get, it's Portuguese league is where I'm thinking.
Yeah. I mean, I find that a bit more likely than Grêmio. So.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know how many Brazilians ply their trade in Wales.
No.
Obviously have the Under-20 Youth Championship in 1993. Let's remember that.
The Super Cup 2000 for Galatasaray could
Super
be.
Super Cup, yeah. That's
could
nice
be a
one,
way
actually.
In. So.
I'm not sure who would have been in Galatasaray Real Madrid at that time, but let's bear that in mind. Super Cup in 2000.
Okay. All right then. All right. So we'll head back to Bala Town, however you prefer to say it. Now, there's a few things here. There's a few things that I feel like we could go down the route of, which is Standard Liège. I like the look of going to have a look at Standard Liège, continually getting into qualifying stages of Europe, latter qualifying stages, probably Conference League or Europa League this year, maybe, and using that as a route in to somewhere, maybe coming up against Galatasaray.
And they have had probably some big Belgian players who may have applied their trade abroad in different places.
Yeah.
And maybe famous previous players, if they have that available in their section, and this is a clickable link, notable former players.
We have Europa League to be a clickable link, but that is wiping out quite a big competitions early on. We have Trabzonspor as a link in here as well, a clickable link.
Trabzonspor, obviously Turkey, but do we think Galatasaray holding water there? We don't know.
And the thing is, do we want it? Because I think going down Trabzonspor is Trabzonspor, and if Galatasaray aren't mentioned, then you're taking out the Turkish league just to get to Galatasaray, which I think is a bit of a bad situation. I want to click on Dave Edwards.
I knew it. It was all building up to Dave Edwards, and I'm fine with Dave Edwards.
Well, if it's the right one.
And my memory of him is being vanilla. He was just a average build, average height, average hair, white guy.
Well, that's what I've got in my head. Yeah, I've got sort of a centre midfielder, average. Always played pretty well as that sort of the Welsh team. Like, he never did something spectacular, but he'd always let Ramsey go and play a little bit better, or Bale play a little bit better. And I feel like...
You think he's involved in that era, do you? You don't think he's going to be too old for that?
No, I think he was at the beginning of the Ramsey-Bale era, when they were coming through. Chris Coleman,
end
maybe.
Yeah. Well, let's have a little click on Dave Edwards, shall we?
Cheers, mate. Embracing my Dave Edwards wanna click.
Yeah.
So Dave Edwards, and it is ex-Premier League footballer Dave Edwards, which I'm quite happy about, because I've sent us down some terrible routes on this podcast in the past.
I'm relieved.
Yeah, I mean, you can't be as relieved as I am. So, interesting, Josh, was he that era of the Wales team? He is 2 months younger than us, older than us, 2 months older than us. So, yeah.
Yeah, I can confirm, looking at his international career, he's referenced that he scored a volley from an Aaron Ramsey assist in the World Cup qualification. So yes, that is part of that era. So well done, Dave.
And part of the Welsh team that got to the semi-finals of Euro 2016 as well.
Yeah.
Fair play to him. Started out at Shrewsbury Town, making his professional debut in 2003. Moved from there to Luton. Luton, he actually was, I think, a bit unfortunate, because he signed for Luton and then they got into the financial trouble that I think they're out of now, but they got into a bit of financial trouble, so they had to sell him relatively quickly. And it was actually linked to a number of Watford and Watford, Nottingham Forest, and Wolves. And Wolves got the deal done, $675,000. Bit of a bargain now, if you think about an international central midfielder for that sort of price. Wolves is, I think, where I remember him the most.
Yeah, I can picture him in a Wolves shirt.
Yeah, picture
in
a Wolves shirt.
We have actually got a picture of him in his Wolves shirt, a couple of Welsh ones. There's three pictures on the page. Two of them are the same.
Are they the same picture? No, yes, slightly different, but same game. Definitely.
Oh, yes, sorry. It's probably one step on because it'd be signs behind him are the same, but his foot's in a different position.
Yeah. I mean, all round, not too bad of stats for a sort of central midfielder, holding midfielder. It was never attacking, was he? I never remember him being
consistent, though. You look at the games he's played. He's played almost 600 appearances in his career, but 70 goals, so one better than one in 10. So,
popping at it. Quickly looking at the right-hand side, the little snippet that we get. Shrewsbury Town, 119 appearances. That's also where he was at the youth career as well. Luton Town signed him, as I said. Then Wolves, 284 appearances at Wolves. He was part of the team that won the Championship and then again won League One in 2013. So he actually
went up and down. Ebanks Blake era, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So
he went up and down with them and then won everything to come back up again. Signed to Reading, back to Shrewsbury Town, which would have been a lovely bookend, but then thought he'd like to go a bit part-time and sign for Barlow.
Yeah. So the Reading move came and went. He got sent off early on, returned to Shrewsbury with Welsh Sam Ricketts was his manager. Yeah. Because of his personal life, I think he made a choice to step down to do part-time football, because this is a statement I never thought I'd read in a personal life. In 2015, Edwards and his friend opened a children's indoor soft play centre.
Okay.
I think it's all part of his foundation, charity, the Little Rascals Foundation, helping children with disabilities. So it's very good.
Very nice. Round of applause for Dave Edwards, I'd say. Well done, Dave.
Good guy. I think a nice, straight-laced, nice guy is how I'm reading all this. Have a pretty good football career.
Yeah, let's be honest. Started his Bala Town career flying. 4-6. 4 goals in 6 games.
Yeah.
For Bala. Good stuff on him there. I mean, I don't know how this gets us any step closer to Mario Jardel, but there's lots of clickable links. Shrewsbury, Football League, Wembley, League One, Swindon, Wolves, Liverpool, Watford, Nottingham Forest, loads, Josh.
Yeah, the fun fact I like from this, actually, was that he was housemates with Joe Hart at the town at the time at Shrewsbury.
Oh, yeah, personal life, yeah. If you could pick someone to be a academy player sort of with, who would it have been? Like, imagine you were back at 16. How old are you when you're an academy player? 16, 17? Yeah. Who would you pick? Who would be your go-to academy living mate, housemate?
Now, if I'm thinking I've got to have a good football career here, I'm trying to go with someone who's uber professional.
Right. Okay.
Because you don't want to be housing with, like I say, a Gazza, because your career may get derailed there.
True. Yeah. Okay.
I think you know, Joe Hart would be good. I think Joe Hart seems like a nice guy. Okay. And he also is talked about because he had that time at Spurs, which I kind of maybe more aware of him. Just super professional, just tried his hardest all the time and worked hard. So I think someone of that ilk, someone who just, not, you say Cristiano Ronaldo is that uber professional with the stories going on about how he's eating in the canteen at Man United at the moment and people are avoiding their puddings and things like that. Is that how you'd like, is that kind of person you think you'd like to be housing with? Or are you, you're a rebellious type. Yeah, I want to steal cars and get drunk.
No, I think, If you're a professional footballer and that's what your aim is, I think, someone like Gazza's a bit too far in the wrong direction, potentially. I think I'd have to be with someone who's a bit more interesting than Joe Hart. And like, I want to be professional, but I also want to have a bit of fun. Someone like Robbie Fowler comes to mind because I always hear stories of him being.
I think that's too far the other way, Dave.
I'm trying to think of someone who's a bit of a prankster, but also very professional.
You want to be housing with a prankster?
Not like a prankster.
You want your leg shaved? You want your eyebrow shaved off, do you, Dave?
No, because you're in their room, so you plan it all with them, and then you go and do it to someone else. I think that's.
Can you trust them?
No, you can't. You're right. No, Joe Hart. I'll stay with Joe Hart.
Dave and I are going to go and live with Joe Hart.
You heard it here first. There we go.
We're right. In Scotland. I'm Joe Hart. So what have we got? we have got some clubs mentioned. Obviously, he's played for Shrewsbury, Luton, Wolves, Reading, Bala. We don't want to go back to Bala. Imagine if we do that on a podcast, like, forget where we started. Oh, God, we're back at the start. Players mentioned, nothing exotic, should I say. Joe Hart is about as exotic as it gets. Aaron Ramsey has obviously had his time in Italy. Did Kit Simmons ever play anywhere else?
I don't know. Where did Kit Simmons play? Fulham is what I remember.
Fulham, yeah. Chris Coleman obviously managed in Sociedad.
Yep, and China.
His honours list isn't even that accessible because there's no cup wins. We've got, well, the conference playoffs in 2004. But again, we don't know what we're clicking to. We've got the Championship, we've got League One. But again, that's not great.
Right, I'm going to, again, because I clicked on David Edwards and it is the David Edwards I thought it was. I'm now going to apologise because this has technically taken us further away from European football when we had the Europa League that was clickable for Bala Town. This was an ego click to make sure that it was the person I thought it was.
Yeah, and, you threw a confirmation, didn't you? Okay.
I mean, yes, it screwed us over. I just love screwing us over, Josh. You get us out of trouble, I put us in trouble. It's a flowing thing we've got going on. So what are you thinking?
I mean, I've just seen Gay Meadow. I feel like I should click on Gay Meadow for Shrewsbury Town.
The home of Shrewsbury Town. I mean,
no, I think you're right. Your silence and your pondering tone, that was all it needs. Oh God, Dave, there's not much to go on.
There's not. I feel like this could rule out a big club, or we've got to find a link that goes a strange way round into European football somehow.
Okay, this is a brave click. We have in his international goals, his second goal came against Azerbaijan.
I know where you're looking. I haven't. You cannot say you want to click on Azerbaijan because we don't know if that's country or club.
No, I'm saying I want to click on the Tofik Baramov Republican Stadium because that has hosted a number of tournaments recently, including UEFA Europa League final. Was it the Arsenal Chelsea match was hosted there?
Oh, it could be, Josh, unless they've built a new stadium since 2009. But if you're going down that route, the Millennium Stadium has hosted...
FA Cups.
Has hosted FA Cup, Carling Cups, because we found it in the last episode. Or League Cup, sorry. FA Cup, League Cup, Euros, when it was in... Olympics, which would be... Because I went there and I watched Great Britain, Mexico, Switzerland, and somebody else. I was very drunk.
None of these are where the Super Cup's hosted, though. The Super Cup's hosted in Monaco each year, isn't it?
Well, it was. I don't know if that's still... Is that still the thing? Is it still in Monaco each year?
Oh, no, it's not now, is it? It's probably... Euro 2000... Yeah. 2000, you would have done, yes.
I mean, I'm more than happy if you want to click on the Tofik Bahama Republican Stadium in Baku.
So where do we go from there, then?
That's the question. Where do we go from there? It was your idea.
Are we happy to click on Europa League at that point? Can't knock out the whole Europa League.
Well, no, especially because we could have done that straight from Bala.
Any of these clubs appealing? Reading, Luton, Shrewsbury?
No. I mean, what about... Oh, there's a... No, that would...
John Toshack. Did John Toshack have a roaming career? Is it a Roy Hodgson or a Bobby Robson today?
John Toshack... Could I would say on his page will have Graham Souness somewhere who played for Galatasaray. Is that tedious?
I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm going with what you suggest because I don't really know much about John Toshack. Fine.
No, I'm not. I don't put this on me.
Yep, I'm clicking on it. It's done.
No.
John Toshack.
I was going to say to go to the Baku Arena.
John Toshack. John Benjamin Toshack. You have done a lot.
Yeah, MBE. Let's not leave that out. Benjamin Toshack, MBE. And he's done a lot. Yeah, he has done a lot. Where would you like to start, Josh?
Looking at his career, we've got Cardiff and Swansea being played for. He doesn't mind, does he?
He doesn't mind. I mean, there's an 8-year gap between both.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the rivalry competition-wise was back then for Cardiff and Swansea.
There's been some very different league standings throughout the years, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Lovely though, 24 goals for Swansea, 74 for Cardiff, 74 for Liverpool. It's quite nice, all ending in four. I think it's where people remember him, is the Liverpool era. It's a good Liverpool era. It's won a lot, won a number of league titles, FA Cup, UEFA Cups. That's, he was a striker, and it seemed like it all came together when Kevin Keegan joined him. Kevin Keegan joined him up front. He was a big man. Kevin Keegan, a little man, knocking him down.
Telepathic. It was described as their partnership.
So telepathic. Yeah, but at the same time, it seems like it's riddled through injuries. There's a lot, like, he even in his young career, he was a promising rugby player and cricketer, but suffered a fractured shoulder, which led him focusing on football. But you think now, like, you don't really think of an injury focusing on football, does it? So we looked through, he's had specialist doctors told him he had very little amount of time to play when he was at Liverpool. And he looked through, he played a fair amount, but he's never that prolific. I mean, where I'm being skewed by recent times of Messi's and Ronaldo's, it was okay. He's got 220 goals and 532 appearances. I mean, it's better than okay. I'm being a bit harsh, I think.
Yeah, I think you're maybe being a little bit harsh, but I didn't realise how much of a managerial career he's had that spanned over such vast lands with big teams in there as well. I mean, he's managed Real Sociedad thrice. He's managed Real Madrid twice. He's managed in Macedonia, Morocco, Azerbaijan,
France,
Iran, where he ended his managerial career.
Well, I can't, and it doesn't go into it on the page, how that all happened. So we have a playing career in Wales and Liverpool. We have an international career, and you're obviously travelling abroad, playing European football. Even a managerial career starts with Swansea, and then bam, we're going to big name, Sporting. Tick. Sporting Lisbon. But then we're so straight into, you know, Portugal, Spain, managing the Welsh side, Spain. Where does it come from? You don't normally think of players or managers wanting to go abroad with that.
No, there's a couple of things in there, which is like Swansea, he did really well. He got them consecutive promotions, got them into the first division, which was obviously at the time the top division. And he was touted to be a Liverpool manager, and he said he always wanted to be, but never got the job. But Bill Shankly said, with his time in Swansea, he's done a remarkable job and he should be possibly manager of the century. I mean, that's a bold statement. So I guess that's got some weight to it from Bill Shankly. So it is sort of out of the blue, though. According as well that with Swansea, it ended in back-to-back relegations before he then moved on to European management.
That's an interesting move, isn't it?
Yeah, it is very bizarre. I mean, we do have a big tick in there, like you said, with Sporting Lisbon. But Real Madrid, not once, but twice.
And he added Oscar Ruggeri and Fernando Hierro to the club's ranks.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, let's be honest. Judging by his Wikipedia page, he looks like quite a screwed-on, intelligent football manager, the career he's had. I mean, he's moved around a lot. But
See, that's what goes before it. But then you read his Wales second spell section, and it paints a different picture. So unanimous choice for the VFA, but unpopular with players. Robbie Savage claiming he would face a player mutiny if appointed. Seven players announced their international retirement within months of Toshack's appointment. Mark Hughes questioned Toshack's suitability for the role, stating that UEFA coaching qualifications, which Toshack did not possess, should be considered as a prerequisite for the job. Is that because Mark Hughes had them?
Probably, yeah, probably.
But yeah, it's a lot of it, like how unpopular he was to be a manager for Wales, which we're only going off this, and we said before we don't really know John Toshack, so it'd be interesting to if anyone can enlighten us why it was so unpopular because of what's gone before it. It seems like there's a lot of, I know it's quite glamorous. Maybe it's similar to, I mean, Roy Hodgson wasn't seen as popular for the England job, was he?
No, very true. Yeah, very true. Roy Hodgson wasn't a hugely, but I don't think Roy Hodgson's unpopular with the players. You didn't hear anything about the players.
True.
Saying
true, yeah.
Anything about being unpopular. Like, I imagine Robbie Savage probably would have been in and around the captaincy of Wales at the time. You wouldn't have imagined Harry Kane, for example, or whoever. Jordan Henderson would have been the captain under Roy Hodgson, wouldn't it? You wouldn't imagine Jordan Henderson coming out and being like, well, if he's appointed, I'm going. Stevie G's going. Kane's going. Like, you just wouldn't picture that. So very, very interesting.
We almost came up absolute trumps because he managed Real Madrid until 1999. Like, a year later, he would have been in the Super Cup. He had the loss of the Super Cup, which had Mario Jardel in. But alas,
Yeah, I mean, I do. Just before we move on, because I think we're going to click on Sporting, aren't we? Because that's what we thought might be a way into Mario Jardel. I just want to rattle this off to make it clear on the podcast. Teams managed: Swansea City player manager, Swansea City manager, Sporting, Real Sociedad, Real Madrid, Real Sociedad, Wales, Deportivo La Coruña, Besiktas, Real Madrid, St Etienne, Real Sociedad, Catania, Real Murcia, Wales, Macedonia, Cazorla Carana, Vidad Casablanca, and Tractor. That's a career, isn't it?
It is a career. And it stops in 2018, and there's nothing to say what's happened to Mr. Toshack since. I'm unaware of him. He's 72 now, so...
He didn't last long managing time. Tractor. It was less than a year. So appointed in 2018, left in September 2018. Not long. He was meant to be their manager until now. Right now, 2021.
Oh, really?
Was when his contract was meant to expire.
If you look at it, we've got not that long stints as manager, have we? We've got probably the longest one is going to be either Wales. When his second spell at Wales, 6 years. And also Sociedad, if you probably can... Yeah, Sociedad's first stint. So... Maybe he's retired now to concentrate on his poetry, because when playing for Liverpool in 1976, he composed and published a book of poems called Gosh, It's Tosh. Great start. Great title.
Yeah, unbelievable. I mean, when you say Gosh, It's Tosh, my immediate reaction is that for something to be tosh, it means it's rubbish. So he's openly admitting that his
poems
are rubbish.
Tongue in cheek, Dave. Tongue in cheek. Didn't take himself too seriously. No. So shall we do it, Dave? We've got Toshack. We came up lucky.
Very lucky.
Very lucky. There was plenty of places. Well, I think the best place to go is Sporting CP. Sporting Club de Portugal. Let's click it.
Let's go. Sporting CP then. Sporting Club de Portugal. Otherwise known as Sporting or Sporting CP or Sporting Lisbon if you're talking to them abroad, apparently. How do you know them?
Well, it's similar to Inter and Inter Milan, isn't it? I think Sporting Lisbon, I'm a Sporting Lisbon guy, and I'm abroad, so... Or you?
Yeah, Sporting, I think I'd just call them, Interesting fact for you, we have the Sporting Club de Portugal Football Academy here in Singapore. I've played on their football pitch. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, had a game on their football pitch.
The Lions for the green and whites?
Much more sensible than Inter Milan's the grass snakes. the big grass snake, or whatever it was, yeah. Thoughts on the kit? Green and white stripes? Home?
I don't mind it. I quite like it. It's okay.
Away
it's
kit?
It's a bit Celtic-y.
Away kit reminds me of a referee.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. What do you think of Sporting Lisbon? We like to do this when we come to a club. What do you think of them? What comes to mind when you think of Sporting Lisbon?
Out of the big three, they're the worst. They're kind of like they're the Feyenoord. So you have Ajax, PSV, Feyenoord is how I order it. And then here I'd go, ooh, this is a tough one. They're quite close
Porto,
actually in my head.
Porto.
Porto because of the Champions League win. Yeah. Porto, Benfica. Sporting is how I would order it. Would you agree that they're third tier?
I mean, I probably would agree. The table from last year wouldn't agree with you because they won it. So
they did win it. Yeah, but that was for the first time in a long while, if I remember.
I think it was. Yeah, I think it was. I mean, yeah, it's a weird one. It's a weird one. I don't know how I would. But yeah, I probably would put them. For some reason, I always have Porto as standout number one, and that's probably because of the history of them winning that Champions League under Jose Mourinho. I don't think there's actually much to it. Other than that, Benfica and Sporting, I'm not too sure. I've seen both their stadiums. They both have very nice stadiums, right next to each other. Very, very close to each other.
In recent times, most notably, obviously, we have players who've come from Sporting. Obviously, we've got Ronaldo, Bruno, Quaresma, Nani. But then there was that issue a few years back, and it mentions it here, that the players rescinded their contracts, didn't they? That's how Wolves got Rui Patricio.
Yes.
And things like that, yeah. It doesn't really, I mean, it's their own club's page, you're not going to go into full detail, but it mentions that nine players, manager or the owner was dismissed. So, yeah, it's a bit of a checkerboard, which I imagine what makes it the title win all that much more sweeter in recent times.
Yeah, I mean, it does make it much sweeter. I was just about to say, it's a huge page. It's not very wordy. It's quite lengthy. There's a lot to scroll through that you can get through. Some highlights that stand out for me. Rivalries. There's the Lisbon Derby, which is, I think we'd all know about, like Sporting v Benfica. As I said, their stadiums are very close to each other, and it is a proper rivalry. Sporting v Porto has one line, one sentence for their rivalry. Sporting also has a rivalry with FC Porto. Despite the rivalry, both clubs formed an alliance against Benfica in 2017. That sounds very much like they're going to go to war. So I don't quite understand what's meant by that in terms they formed an alliance, but it's an interesting one. Who would you say is their best player coming from Sporting? Ronaldo? Figo?
It's going to be Ronaldo, isn't it? He's the second best player ever.
Personal opinion, yes. Josh. Who's your favourite player that's come out of Sporting that you can think of?
Oh, no, it's probably Ronaldo.
Ronaldo?
Looking, they've got a nice player of the year section here. Vigo's mentioned. We have Lied. Do you remember Liedson, the striker?
I do remember Liedson as the striker, yeah.
We have Jean Moutinho now at Wolves. Nani in a second spell, that would be, wouldn't it, Nani? Bastos, the one-touch striker. Love just putting Bruno Fernandes won it. Sebastian Coates, did not realise that. So he only won player of the year in the title-winning season, but he's not there now?
I was looking through that list and thinking, if you go from 2001 onwards, that's a lot of players that have won Player of the Year and then also gone on to represent someone in the Premier League. Moutinho, Rui Patricio, Adrian Silva, Nani, João Mário, Bruno Fernandes, Sebastian Coates, all played in the Premier League.
They've also got a nice section here. Just rather than just Player of the Year, the internal awards, they've got players who've won awards elsewhere. So we have European Golden Boot. We have Hector Yazalde. Never heard of him. You ever heard of him?
Nope, never heard of him.
No, in 1974, a Portuguese record scoring 46 goals a season, beating our man, Mario Jardel, who won the European Golden Boot with 42 goals. So we have our home run there. We have Islam Slimani, won the Algerian Ballon d'Or. That's a bit cheeky.
That is a bit cheeky, yeah.
Portuguese Football of the Year. Again, Mario Jardel winning it. Oh, Premier League breakthrough player of the year. Player I liked, Miguel Veloso. 100 greatest players of the 20th century. Peter Schmeichel. Remember that move?
Nope. No, I do not. I knew he had a club after us and before Villa, but I had no idea it was Sporting. And I can't even picture him.
It was a couple of seasons, but no, I don't think they were doing much at the time. I really don't recall it being groundbreaking, but yeah, I definitely do remember it. But I love that the 100 greatest players makes it. Is that the same one, do we think? Or is that a different one?
Ooh.
Might not be the same. It's not a FIFA. It was a FIFA 100, wasn't it? So I think it's a different award.
That's not Pelé's 125. Not Pelé's,
yeah.
I'd forgot that we also signed Marcus Rojo from Sporting after his World Cup in 2014, because he made the World Cup All-Star team in 2014.
World Cup All-Star, yes. I don't know who Krasimir Balakov is, who was in the 94... World Cup All-Star team.
Bulgaria had a very good World Cup that year.
Stoichkov.
Basically, Stoichkov took them as semi-finals.
Have been brought up.
Yeah.
Well, it's before my time, Dave. You're a bit older than me, so.
Cheeky git. Like 4 days. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, we do have the link through, don't we, Josh, to Mario Jardel. I would argue this is our luckiest one we've done.
I'd say so. After your Dave Edwards click, I was like, yeah, why not? Let's do it. And then suddenly, Toshack was the treasure trove. So I say, we click on Mario Jardel to bring this home.
Let's go.
There we have it. Ballatown FC. David Edwards, footballer born in 1986. Not to be confused with the other ones. John Toshack, Sporting CP, Mario Jardel. Just three stops in the middle there. That's got to be a record for us, I'd say.
I think it is. I think it is on episode 5. Breaking records.
Fortuitously.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't feel like David Edwards, John Toshack or Sporting Lisbon are big misses.
No, and I honestly thought this would be one where we went down such a rabbit hole or couldn't get out of somewhere. We would have to have clicked on a link to a big club or a big competition or something like that.
Agreed.
And
yeah, yeah.
It shows where you can get to and from on Wikipedia. The fact that we've got from a Welsh Premier League team to an incredible, potent striker via a Welsh manager, a Welsh footballer and a Portuguese team is impressive, I think.
I think we just have John Toshack's get up and go to thank. He wasn't happy just sitting in Wales. He wanted to see the world. He
Very
was adventurous.
True.
Thank you, the adventurous nature of John Toshack.
Travel with Tosh. Thank you.
Travel with Tosh.
Thank you for travelling with Tosh. Yeah, lovely stuff. Lovely stuff. Do you remember one question to finish on for you then? Do you remember Jardel at Bolton? Like, do you remember, was there fanfare about the signing?
I remember it happening for sure because I've always been into stats. I remember this guy goal scoring in Europe and going, oh my God, he's signed Bolton, and then being emphatically disappointed. But I don't think it was many starts. I don't think he was really given, similar to his Newcastle Jets times, he wasn't really given the, like, it wasn't like seven full appearances and didn't score a single goal. It was unfit.
Yeah.
And he was therefore underutilized or utilized to it in accordance to his level of fitness.
Do you think it could be a thing of the motivation went because he was getting a bigger paycheck from the Premier League at Bolton? Because I can't imagine, like, the clubs before him, Sporting, Galatasaray, Porto, Gremio, Vasco, they're not going to be paying huge wages. And for a Brazilian to come to Bolton, that's a big whack, isn't it?
It might be climate as well. You know, yeah, just, true. Oh, God, I'm not going out. I'm just settling there. Turkey, Brazil, Portugal, Bolton.
Yeah, could be true. Could be true. But, yeah, well, we've done it, Josh. We have done it. You've gone through the links of how we did it. And it was very, very, very good, very successful. Very proud of us for that one.
Well done, us. The one action we've taken today is looking at Brazilian appearances and how they're registered in the stats section. Is it right that they're excluded from the Torres section with league appearances and just called in other, was it other,
other
cups?
Yeah,
like
other.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah, excuse it. Because that top right section on the players' page is a bit of a Bible for me. So I feel like maybe I've discredited a lot of Brazilian players in the past. So I'll have a look at that, see if it's the correct way. If it isn't the correct way, that's a big action.
It is a very big action, but it does bring an end to this week's podcast. So thank you so much for listening, everybody. Feel free to send in your suggestions for Wikia pages. You can send in a start, a finish, or where you'd like us to do the whole journey through. You can find us on Twitter at WikiWanderers and on Instagram at WikipediaWanderers. So until next week, we will say goodbye.
Goodbye.